If you have your Bibles, and we'll turn with me to 1 Kings. We want to continue our study through 1 Kings. This afternoon, we brought a book that we have that shows a description of the tabernacle, or the temple and the tabernacle, to help you visualize what it would look like. Those of you who weren't here Wednesday, we went through the building of the temple and the different aspects of it that Solomon did, and all the artisan work that that Herman, craftsman in bronze from up in Tyre, did for Solomon, and it was quite amazing. Following the service, if you wanted to take a quick look at the book, we're not going to be leaving it here or allowing anybody to take home. But if you want to look at this book, it's got cut-throughs of the tabernacle and also the temple, and it shows some of the instruments of the temple that we were trying to explain, and it is easier to say in words but harder to visualize when you don't have a picture. So on next Wednesday, we'll be bringing the book back again for anyone that will be here then, and we'll take a look at it again. And also those that would normally be here Wednesday that would possibly want to look at it. This afternoon, I want you to take a look at, we're going to take a look at 1 Kings, the first portion of chapter 8. Solomon is beginning gathering the people to dedicate the temple. And the temple has been completed. It took 7 years to complete. Last Wednesday, we also looked at the other buildings that Solomon built. There's a brief parenthesis in chapter 7 dealing with the other five buildings on the Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is about a 30-acre area on the top of Mount Zion. And so if it's where the Dome of the Rock and the Alaska Mosques are today, the temple that is going to be built by men, not by Jesus, will be built somewhere on the Temple Mount, and it will be coming prior to the rule of the Antichrist, because he's going to deceive Israel, and at the midpoint of the tribulation, he will enter into that temple and desecrate it by declaring himself to be God and demanding that they offer sacrifice to him. And then that temple will be destroyed, but then the Lord Jesus will build his temple for the millennial kingdom. But we're going to be looking at Solomon's temple today and how Solomon dedicated the temple. First, it's his gathering together for the dedication. Wednesday night, we'll be taking a look at the speech and the prayer that Solomon made for the temple during the dedication service. So let's take a look beginning at chapter 8, verse 1. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribe and the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto King Solomon in Jerusalem, that they might bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is in Zion. Now, remember, David had brought the Ark of the Covenant from Gibeah up to Jerusalem to the city of David, but it had not been placed on the Temple Mount, what we refer to as the Temple Mount or Mount Zion, where the temple would be built, because the temple wasn't built and the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. So it was kept, the Ark of the Covenant was kept in the city of David. If you go to Jerusalem today, they've done architectural diggings, and looking for artifacts in the city of David, and they've found where the city of David was located. It would be located a little bit to the would be the southwest, I believe, of the Temple Mount, and it is below the Temple Mount near the old city of Jerusalem, and part of the old city of Jerusalem. They have found much of the things that were dealing with the city of David and identified it as that city. This is where David would have had his temple for himself, that Hiram, the king of Tyre and Sidon, had helped build for David. because he loved David, he appreciated David, and he built his palace for him. And then he also, David put all the silver and the gold, the precious metal that was to be used in the building of the temple, he gathered all of that. He also, later on, Hiram, the king, would bring the cedar and cypress down from the trees down from Lebanon for the building of Solomon's temple. And Solomon, as we saw 2 weeks ago, commissioned him to do that in trade for grain from the nation of Israel. But we see that that now Solomon is ready to begin the dedication. There's two things that need to be done first. The first thing is all the men of Israel need to be gathered together. What is the significance of this? Well, the significance of that is they all gathered in Shiloh when the tabernacle was there. All the tribes of Israel gathered around, and there were three tribes on each side of the tabernacle, and they gathered together for their annual feasts at Shiloh, where the Ark of the Covenant and the tabernacle were. When the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines during the time of Eli the high priest, and the Ark of the Covenant eventually was moved when it was returned to Israel from the Philistines, but it was moved and it no longer was at Shiloh, and the tabernacle was no longer there either. They moved them from that place. And eventually, as we saw David, remember when he brought the Ark of the Covenant, he was dancing before the Ark, and it was an embarrassment to his wife, Michael, she was embarrassed by David, and David was merely celebrating with joy the fact that the Lord's Ark was coming to Jerusalem. And it showed you the real heart of Michael, that she had no love for God, and she really didn't have love for David either. And so, but that was when the Ark was brought into Jerusalem, into the city of David. And then now it's going to be moved to its permanent home until the temple would be destroyed. But it would be placed in the temple. And so the Ark needs to be moved from the city of David up to the Temple Mount. And all the men of Israel are gathered together to see this event occur. There is to be a very sober event, but a very worshipful and praiseful event as well. And it says in verse 2, "And all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto King Solomon at the feast in the month of Ethanim, which is the seventh month." And this month is after the completion of the temple. And it was a month after the completion of the temple. It would be September, October would be what on our calendar would be, fall somewhere in there. They were on a lunar calendar. We're on the Gregorian calendar. And so we have 365 days on our calendar. They have 360 days on the lunar calendar. And so the months don't line up exactly between the two calendars. Verse 3, "And all the elder of Israel came, and the priests took up the ark." I want you to see Solomon didn't make the mistake that David initially made when he was bringing the Ark of the Covenant up to Jerusalem. Remember, David had placed it upon a cart, an ox cart, and the oxen stumbled, the cart tipped, the ark began to fall off the ox cart, and the priest lifted up his hand to keep it from falling, and he was immediately smitten dead. That was not the manner in which the ark was to be transported. The ark was to be transported with the staves that would be placed through the ringlets on the sides of the ark, and the priest, designated from one of the families of the tribe of Levi, the house of Aaron, would be those that would carry the Ark of the Covenant. And they were the ones that were designated to carry it, and only they were to carry it. It wasn't to be transported any other way. This is why it says the priests. The priests would have been transporting the Ark as God had instructed them. Solomon made sure that that was the way that it was transported and taken from the city of David up to the Mount Moriah, or Zion, the Temple Mount. And they brought up the Ark of the Lord, and the tabernacle of the congregation, and all the holy vessels that were in the tabernacle, even those that the priests and the Levites bring up. Now remember, even though Solomon had made some new instruments for inside the temple, there were some of the original ones that were going to be used as well. And the tabernacle was still the building that would house the ark until it would be transported into the temple. And so they brought the tabernacle up as well, and all of the instruments that had been used in the worship of the Lord at the tabernacle that had been assembled and built during the time of Moses and at the Exodus from Egypt. And so that all of these instruments that are the instruments that are used within the holy place and the holy of holies are brought up with the tabernacle itself. And we go on and it says, and they brought up verse 5, and King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him were with him before the ark, sacrificing sheep and oxen, and it could not be told nor numbered for multitude. And the priests brought in the ark of the covenant of the Lord unto the place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. And so we see that there was great worship going on. There were sacrifices being made unto God. And the number of sacrifices and the number of people were tremendous. It was the nation of Israel was there. All the sacrifices were being made. And later on, it gives some of the numbers of sacrifices. And it's unbelievable the number of sacrifices that were made. And all of this was in worship of the Lord, acknowledging that God was the God of Israel, and God was the God that they worshipped, and they had built the temple to take the place of the ark, that the Lord may have a permanent home to house the ark, instead of one that would be moving from place to place, because the nation of Israel had come into the land that had been promised to them, and as long as they were made faithful to God, they would remain in the land. The land was to be always theirs, and you can go and I've got my article on the blog entitled Israel, the Land, the People, and the Messiah, and I talk in that article about the land and how that the land had been promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who later became Israel, and that when Israel came out of Egypt, they came into the land of Canaan under the leadership of under the leadership of Joshua, and under Joshua, they begin to drive out the Canaanites, and Joshua established the tribes with the various regions within the land. And after that time, the land was always theirs. It was no one else's. Even though at various times in history, other people have inhabited the land and Israel has not. And the only reason that occurred is because of Israel's unfaithfulness to God. And God said one of the judgments he would bring against Israel for unfaithfulness is that he would remove them from the land, and when he did that, the land would become unproductive, but when they came back, it would be productive. And then we said in the last days, they would come back and they would inhabit the land and they would not be removed from it again. And so we see that we're living in the last days. Israel is back in the land and has become productive again. So we see that the people from all over Israel are coming to worship. They're making all these sacrifices. They're all coming to Jerusalem, which is Mount Zion, and they're the temple has been built. And the priests brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into his place, into the oracle of the house, to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubims. Those of you who are here, it described the cherubims that Solomon had made that were placed in the Holy of Holies. And these were a different set of cherubims from those that sat on top of the ark. The cherubim that were on top of the ark were still on top of the ark, but they were much smaller. The cherubim placed in the Holy of Holies, their wings went from one side of the room to the other. They stood extremely tall. They were made out of gold, and they were placed in there, and now the ark comes in, and the ark is placed underneath the wings of these larger cherubim. So the smaller cherubim over the on the cover of the ark would sit underneath the larger cherubim, which were over them. And so the priests placed this, and when it says the oracle, it's speaking of the room. There are two oracles, or two large rooms in the temple, just as there were two large rooms in the tabernacle. The larger room would be the holy place. The smaller room would be the Holy of Holies. The same thing was in the tabernacle. In the temple, as was in the tabernacle. The larger room, about twice as large, would be the holy place. And the smaller room would be the Holy of Holies, or the inner oracle, the most holy oracle. And the cherubim spread forth their two wings over the place of the ark. And the cherubims covered the ark and the staves thereof above. And when he speaks of the staves, it would be the staves on the side of the ark which the priests used to carry the ark. And the larger cherubim were so large that they would cover both the ark and the staves. Or those wood devices, wood poles that were used to carry the ark. And they drew out the staves, that the ends of the staves were seen out in the holy place before the oracle, and they were not seen without, and there they are unto this day. And so they took the staves out of the ringlets and moved them to the holy place, out of the Holy of Holies. And so we see that that was done. There was nothing in the ark save the two tablets of stone which Moses put there at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And this is different because originally there was other items that were placed in the ark. There was manna. There were some other items that were placed in the ark, but those evidently have been removed. And it's just the stone on which the Ten Commandments were written are still within the ark. And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place that the cloud filled the house of the Lord. And this is significant in that the cloud is really showing the presence of God. And this is similar to the cloud that went before the nation of Israel as they went through the desert, showing the presence of the Lord was going before them. It was showing that the presence of God resided in this temple that Solomon had built, and that the Lord was there. Later on, and I forgot which king it was, during his time, the presence of the Lord went out of the temple, and it says that it left and went down out through the east side of the walls of the city of Jerusalem, the glory of the Lord, left down the Kidron Valley and left. And it was never in the temple the same again until Jesus shall return. And we see that this was a sign during the time of Solomon that God's Spirit was there. He was residing in the temple. His presence was with Israel, and he was acknowledging his pleasure with what Solomon had done. And it came to pass when the priests were come out that the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. The glory of the Lord was there. And it's interesting. They couldn't stand in the presence of the glory of the Lord. Moses couldn't stand in the presence of the glory of the Lord. Jeremiah couldn't stand in the presence. Isaiah couldn't stand in the presence. The Apostle John couldn't stand in the presence of the glory of the Lord. We do not understand who the Lord is, what His glory is, His majesty, His holiness, His righteousness, all of who He is. And there are, you know, many Christians today really are disrespectful and really profane in the way they speak of God. They talk about the old man upstairs or things like that. This is the God of creation, the one who is all-knowing, all-glory, and who, when His presence filled the temple with a cloud, the priests couldn't stand, even though they'd been standing just a moment before. They were forced down before Him and before His glory. Then spake Solomon, the Lord said that He would dwell in the thick darkness. I have surely built thee a house to dwell in, a settled place for thee to abide in forever. And the king turned his face about and blessed all the congregation of Israel, and all the congregation of Israel stood. And we're going to be stopping here today and picking it up on Wednesday. But the thing is, Solomon is acknowledging who God is, and He's the God of the Israelites, and he calls the congregation to stand in honor of the Lord, and acknowledging who God is, that He is their God. And that is why the whole nation of Israel was called to be there. All the men, the leaders of every family, and all of Israel itself were called to be there to witness the fact that God's permanent place, the temple, had been erected on the Temple Mount, Mount Zion, and that they were to acknowledge that God was their God, and that Solomon was calling them to do this. The sad thing is, it didn't take long for Israel to forget. It wasn't as soon as Solomon, towards the end of Solomon's life, he even forgot what he is going to be telling the people of Israel. And the people of Israel, as a nation, the majority of them forgot. God always had His remnant, even in the midst of all the darkness that would come upon, especially the northern tribes, what would be called Israel. But even on the southern tribes, there would be times during various kings' reigns where the light of the glory of God just about went out in the temple, as they would bring in all kinds of false worship into the land, even into Judah, and forget the promises they had made under Joshua when they came into the land, the promises they made under Joshua when he died. They'd forget the words of David on his deathbed, and they're going to forget the words that Solomon shares with them. We say, well, how could they do that? They had all of these amazing things that were symbols and of the presence of God, and symbols of all the things that God was doing, not only in their nation, but in all mankind. Speaking of the coming Messiah through the symbolism of the sacrifice and everything else, yet they didn't acknowledge it. Well, how are we to speak, even as Christians today, when we have even a greater and clearer picture of who Jesus was, why He came, the sacrifice He made, the new covenant that was given in His body and His blood that enables us to be God's children, and yet oftentimes we forget. And the many people that claim the name of Christ don't act as if they're Christians today. It was important at the time of Joshua, important at the time of Solomon. It's even more important during our day that we keep our eyes on the Lord and remember what He has done and is doing in our lives, and what He has shown us that we can walk and have faith in Him. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would just help us to understand why Solomon gathered everybody together. Understand, as the Ark of the Covenant is placed in the Holy of Holies, as the people gather around to make sacrifice and worship You, Lord, may we gather together as Your people and honor and worship Your name, and remember the greatest sacrifice of all, the Lamb of God that came to take away the sin of the world. And may we never forget. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. In closing, if you would turn with me to hymn number 600.